more detailed analysis of the cost, which I have done. Actually, Mary Kay Johansson, our finance officer, has performed that analysis for us. And that's in front of you. The increase for 2024, including retirement and all the other roll-ups, would be $7,504.54 would be the budget impact.
All right. Any discussion on this matter?
Not for
me. I think it's a good move on the part of the chief, and if not hearing anything, I'll move that we approve this change as presented by the chief.
I second that.
All right, good. All those in favor of approving the shift from 24 to 30 hours for admin assistant?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Very good. The ayes have it, and the motion carries. All right, we're ready to move on to new business, and now comes our chief's report.
Okay. Chief Dilley, do you want to put that on the screen so that the audience can see? So formerly, the chief's report was in consent agenda. We've broken that out as requested. And basically what we're covering here is call volume changes, staffing changes, and how we're doing on meeting our 4-person per day and 5-person per day metrics. So for March 2024, our call volume is continuing to trend up for average monthly volume by year.
Maybe we'll hold on one sec.
There we go. Okay. So as you can see, this is the average monthly volume by year. Overall, the trend has been continuing upwards. We had a little bit of a slow month last month, so the numbers are down for 2024. That will vary. It's early in the year. And the volume by month was 251 calls in January. We're down to 200 in February. Looking at our staffing reports, this is how often do we have fourth seat coverage for the district? How often do we have four firefighters on duty ready to respond? We were up to 84% in January. We're at 78% in February. That's continuing to hover right around the 80% mark. The fifth seat coverage was actually at 32%, which was, if you recall, we started out about a year and a half ago with fourth seat coverage at 30% on average. And now we're up to 80%, you know, hovering around 80% for fourth seat and 32% for fifth. As you know, there are two changes that have impacted that. That was the addition of additional firefighters in 2023. And we have seen an uptick in volunteer participation. Moving on to recruitment and retention. So as of the publishing of this, we were at 9 volunteers in the Fire Academy. We may have lost one, which is not totally unusual. As people start to go through the Firefighter Academy, they maybe realize that this wasn't exactly what they thought it was. We have 3 applications in process. So those are volunteer firefighters who have applied and are going through some step of our process and possibly awaiting the interview panel at this point. Our next interview panel will be in April. We had, and the board should expect going forward, we will have less frequent approvals of new members, but more new members during approval. We are starting to batch the application process for greater efficiency. In other words, we were doing a continuous recruitment and interview process. Now we've moved to doing an interview process quarterly. Some of the upcoming events, we have an Easter event on March 30th. a spring open house coming up April 13th, and the awards banquet for the district will be April 20th. Do the commissioners have any questions?
Yeah, Chief, this is Mike Nablay. A question about the uptick in volunteers. Any thoughts on what's going on and whether we can duplicate that going forward?
I believe we're starting to see a little bit better engagement as volunteers are starting to come in and ride with the crew. From what I've seen here coming and visiting, there's a lot of evenings there'll be a number of volunteers here, you know, here at the station with the crew, doing training and working on the rigs and having a lot of fun. So I think culturally it's going pretty well right now from my vantage anyhow. And that's leading to some success. We've also had a lot of our members, our administrative assistant, Nikki Hagan, has taken a much greater role in processing new volunteers coming in and talking to them as they come in the door. And the crews have really engaged in that process as well. And I think those things have helped to generate an increasingly more positive culture around the volunteer group and driving more engagement.
Sounds good. That's the name of the game. If we can up the volunteers, the public who we all represent wins, and that's my concern.
No comments from Commissioner Towers. I do not have any questions or discussion for your report. Next order of business is the resolution warrant cancellation 2024-06.
Is that a motion?
So this was a check that had to be reissued due to an incorrect amount. And so we reissued the check and we need to destroy the original.
All right. Any discussion before we entertain a motion for this resolution?
I think Commissioner Nablay made a motion. I will second it.
Very good. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. The resolution carries. And now we're ready for discussion on the levy lid lift.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner.
Very good.
You commissioners, and thanks to all the public who turned out tonight. And I want to acknowledge Commissioner Bacon here this evening.
Is your mic
great
on?
To see you. It is.
Okay.
It's not quite as loud, so I'll try to keep it closer to my mouth here. So what we'd like to do is talk a little bit about our levy lift this evening that is on the docket for the board to approve, and go through kind of some of the reasons for that. At the end of the presentation, we'll open it up for public comment. Okay. So what we do, so obviously we're your fire district. We're South Whidbey Fire EMS, and we cover the south end of Whidbey Island, south of Mutiny Bay Road. This is a 66 square mile area, roughly. We serve about 15,000 regular residents and 10,000 visitors. We also have around 533 businesses at the south end. We rely on full-time staff and also on volunteer staff to serve the public and to run over 2,600 calls a year. We're up about closer to 3,000 for last year. So that's a lot of calls, and that's a really large area that we cover. So what exactly does the fire department do? As many of you may know, we don't just fight fires any longer. We are a all hazards response team. So if there's a problem on the south end of the island and somebody picks up the phone, calls 911, we will likely be showing up. And we don't know what we're going to from day to day. So we do firefighting. We do advanced technical rescue, which could be over cliff sides. This was actually, even sometimes we end up rescuing
people's pets. Keeps them from going over the cliff, which is good. The week that we did this rescue, we had two rescues for the same household previous to that, so we were pretty busy. We also provide first response on EMS calls, emergency medical calls, and we provide advanced extrication services for car accidents. We turn out for those first out and are able to extract people from the car and also suppress any fires there might be. Our firefighters and EMTs are highly trained to provide the following services. So we educate people on how to put out fires, starting with kids in the schools. We put out fires. We respond to vehicle accidents, first response medical services, rescue services, hazmat, and life safety education programs, such as our public CPR program. We've already got 15 people registered for the March class. They keep turning out every day, so that's been a really successful program. This is a look at our call volumes over just the past 5 years. So you'll see a little bit of an uptick here in 2021. That was post-COVID. That was something we saw around the nation and probably across around the world, was that a little bit of an anomaly there after our call volume wasn't huge in 2020. Back to 2023, and we're right back up to, as I said, nearly 3,000 calls for the year. This is a look at a long-term trend for our call volume. This is going all the way back here to 1986. You'll see we were right around 250 calls. And then we're looking here 10 times that amount by 2023. This is the 2023 number. If you take a look at around 2000, the year 2000, we're at just around 1,000 calls. We're looking at a 6-year levy lid lift at this time. And so if we project this going forward, we'll be up all the way to the top of the chart by the time that this levy is done. So the call volumes just continue to increase down here. This is a look at what kind of calls that we run. If you look in this orange portion of the pie here, that's emergency medical services calls. That's definitely the lion's share of what we do. The green portion here is a wide variety of different kinds of other responses that we go to. The red is fires and fire alarms. This teal looking stripe is actually weather-related events. We run a ton of weather-related events. We do a lot of road clearing. Sometimes people get stuck in their houses. And in late 2022, you may recall we had a pretty big storm. We had multiple structure fires, working structure fires during that storm as well. And then the yellow is hazmat. That tends to be things like propane leaks around here. Could also be broken fuel lines, things like that at the gas station. So how do we fund our emergency services? Our daily operations are funded by a fire levy. In 2021, voters approved a fire levy rate of 95 cents per $1,000 of assessed property value. Since that time, the rate has dropped to 81 cents per thousand. So revenue from the levy is not keeping up with cost to provide service and emergency services and to respond to calls. And that's why the board is looking at increasing that levy rate so that they can fund our operations and we can provide the services that you expect. So you may ask yourself, why did the levy rate drop? Why was it at 95 cents back then and it's down to 81 cents today? And the reason for that is something that they call levy compression. You can read the slide. I won't kill you by reading off the slide, but the only year that a levy is actually tied to what you vote in is the year that you voted in. And then after that, it's only allowed to raise a certain amount each year. The statutory rate that can increase is 1%. We can vote in a slightly higher rate, but the levy is never really tied to the assessed valuation until after that first year. So each year as property values go up, that levy doesn't exactly trend with that. if that makes sense. So as a result, as we said, we've gone from 95 cents in 2021 to 81 cents in 2023. Some of the challenges that we're having is struggling to recruit and retain new volunteers. As you heard earlier in the presentation this evening, we're working hard to do so. We're trying to invigorate that program and keep as many engaged volunteers as we possibly can. But the volunteerism is down nationally and indeed worldwide in the fire service. Volunteerism is down, and it's increasingly difficult to get folks in and then to keep them engaged. Everybody's super busy now, probably busier than they've ever been. Some of our apparatus also have reached their end of life. We have apparatus that are officially now, they're classics. They're over 30 years old. So, you know, they may have a future as a parade vehicle or something, but some of them date back in the 1990s. So we have a need to replace some of those. And when I came into the fire service in the 90s, my first fire engine was super expensive. I couldn't believe how much it cost. It was $250,000. The district had bought two of them. They were beautiful engines, top of the line, custom built. Today, what the manufacturers are telling us is to budget $1 million for a standard fire engine. With that, it's expensive to replace them. We do our best to get the most economical purchases that we can, but nevertheless, a reliable engine is important. So here's one of our engines. This is the one that's over in Langley. And this is the sign that's out front of that station. It says volunteers wanted. That's actually been pretty successful in getting people in the door. It's just those sandwich board signs, believe it or not. So one of the things that we'll talk about in a moment here is the importance of getting out to calls quickly. And that is one of the biggest drivers of our request and our need to increase the levy. The strategic plan that the board and the fire district set forth several years ago said that we wanted to be out on emergency medical services calls and fires within 10 minutes. What we're hovering around to this day is an average of about 15-minute response time to calls. So why is it so important that we get out quickly? This chart that you see in front of you is the probability of survival for a cardiac arrest event. As I'll show you in a moment here, I'll show you our response time maps and see how quickly we can get to different parts of our district. But where we're at 15 minutes is over here just off the chart, about 3 minutes. At 15. Where we want to be is at least under 10. We'd like to be faster, but it's probably not realistic for a great percentage of our calls. The closer you are to a station, the more likely we're going to be able to get on scene, provide CPR and defibrillation. The similar is true of fires. Is fires in a free burning state double in size every minute? So the faster we can get on scene, the greater the likelihood is that we can make a save if someone is trapped inside, that we can save your property, and that we could prevent the fire from spreading to another building. So Chief Nye worked very hard this year creating a standards of cover document that we're just finalizing. And what we looked at in the standards of cover is what are all the calls that we go to? What are all the hazards we have in our district? How are we responding to those calls, and how could we improve? One of the things that we identified is we could respond much faster to calls. And the best way to do that is to have people in station on standby near your house, ready to go. We studied our stations and we studied our staffing quite a bit. And we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how we could best get to your houses in 10 minutes or less. Currently, so let me back it up. 2 years ago, we were just staffing the station that you're in right now. It's right in the middle of this map. This pink is not your Verizon coverage or your T-Mobile coverage area. It's actually the 10-minute response time. If you see, there's a lot of holes in this. What those holes are, some of those are areas that there's no roads. That's the reason for that. But if you look at it overall, we were responding just out of this station. Now, when we have four people on duty, which is about 80% of the time, we're able to staff the Freeland station as well. So we've got this corridor pretty well covered. The area that we identified we have a really big gap in service is over here on the southwest portion of the district. Southeast portion of the district. If you are down here in the possession area, this is a really long run for us, as anybody who's driven down there knows. If we were able to staff an additional station, which would take two more firefighters on per day, this is what our 10-minute response time or response area starts to look like. So that is really where we want to get. So from time to time, this is getting back into the levy. We must ask our voters to reset our levy. As we talked about, that levy compression has brought the rate down. What will the levy lid lift fund? So the lid lift would fund two firefighters per day to reduce response times from an average of 15 minutes down to 10. We would staff a third station in the southeast part of the district to decrease the amount of time it takes to arrive on scene by an average of 5 minutes, as we just were looking at on the maps. Firefighter training programs to ensure high quality emergency response and replacement of the aging fire apparatus. So what is the cost of the levy to the individual taxpayer, to the levy lid lift? So what the board is considering is raising our levy from what had been 95 cents, it's down to 81 cents, up to $1.20 per thousand of assessed property value. That brings us in line with our neighbors on Camino and Central Whidbey. And by the way, the cap for this is $1.50. The 39 cent lid lift would cost the owner of a $600,000 home an additional $1,950 per month. That's what I have for this evening. So I'll turn it over to the commissioners and the public.
Thank you, Chief. At this time, do the commissioners have any comments for the chief before we open it up for public input?
This is Commissioner Novelle, and I commend Chief Walsh for giving an excellent summary, having been on watch, so to speak, for 4+ years. I'm acutely aware of the problems that he outlined, and especially on the south end of our district. The distances to get to the very bottom and the time is not what we want to do. So good job for the chief, and that's basically my comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Noble.
The 10-minute response time goal was, I think, originally set back in 2005. We do a five-year strategic plan, and the push was to get it down to the 10-minute mark. We've operated as a volunteer force. We've operated with part-time firefighters plus volunteers, and we've now had the experience the last 2 years of working with paid staff and volunteer staff. And our response times remain stubbornly at 14 minutes. A large part of this is just the distances we have to go, and we need to be able to have station service out of the station to do anything to reduce this. So this has been a long-term goal that we've been striving for and have not been able to make.
Thank you, Commissioner Towers. I think what I'd like to do is hear from the public. Part of our job is to ensure that we are providing the best service that we possibly can to our community. So before we take a look at the resolution, we would like to hear from the public about their thoughts on the presentation that you just heard and the proposal that we're considering. So I would ask that members of the public please line up at the podium. When you speak, please identify yourself, and we will have 3 minutes per person to speak, and if needed, may consider additional time. So with that, who would like to ask any questions or provide any comments in regards to our presentation on our levy lift? Please come to the podium. So if you could start with your name, you want to tell us where you live, and you will have 3 minutes to speak.
My name is Jeannie McElwain. Is this working?
Yes.
Great. I live at Maxwellton and Midvale. My major concern is funding to make this the best fire department possible. My second main concern and major for me is public education. So my first question is this going to be available publicly? This presentation is excellent. And for visual accessors, words in the newspaper don't cut it. Are you going to make this widely accessible? And secondly, I personally believe that we are in a changing environment. The old rules don't work anymore. Anyone who's read about the drought on the peninsula should be pretty scared, that we really need to work before even greater funding in the future, because it's a new world and our fire departments are critical to saving our lives. Thank you.
Thank you. Chief Walsh, would you like to address any of those?
Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. And we are right now have begun touring around with the presentation. And if anyone is interested in a community group or anything like that, I'm happy to come out and make this presentation to them as well.
So right now we are looking at a resolution to put this on the ballot. So so this conversation that we're having is to determine, are we on the right track? What is the public feedback? Kind of gauging, is this something that if we put it to the voters, does it have a chance of passing? Yeah. That's when we're looking at it. But the vote for putting it on the August ballot will happen after this discussion, or the consideration of postponing it. All right, up next.
My name is David Freed. I live down in Clinton. I 100% support this levy. I've lived on the island 25 years, and I think every single time we've ever had a levy or a bond for schools, fire, emergencies, parks and rec, plus other funding sources for our library, for our public transit, I just feel like it's my duty as an American to support all those things, because we don't really have any other way of funding it. There was a letter to the editor, and I think I talked to the fire chief soon after that, that was called this a palatial building, which made me see red. And also this idea that you should be looking into electric fire engines and solar banks and all those things. Those are great. They're wonderful. But, you know, there is a point where you have to be practical. And what I understand is, as you said, these fire engines that you're getting we have now are old and they cost about $1 million to replace. My understanding is that getting a hybrid, which would actually be electric and diesel, would be maybe 2 or 3 times that. And the other issue is we have a power outage or a big windstorm and your vehicles are out there for 8 hours at a time. You know, you're going to switch over to diesel pretty darn quick, I imagine. So I don't think this is a palatial building. It's a nice building. as you said, it houses your vehicles, training, administrative staff. So my concern, I guess, is that I mentioned this to some friends in California, in Sonoma County, north of San Francisco, where I used to live. And they said, oh, yeah, we're up against the same thing. And that people there were like, you know, well, we're not going to do this levy because the fire district spends, you know, is too extravagant. What their issues were is about, like, for the staffing for the kitchen, they were getting, you know, super expensive Wolf, you know, commercial stoves or Sub-Zero, you know, European refrigerators and freezers and so forth, which maybe if they last a year long, that's what they do. My hope is that when, you know, as you move forward and it didn't pass, I hope that it would just take be reasonable in terms of what we need and how money's going to be spent. Understanding, like you said, you know, are you going to spend $1 million on a fire truck or $1.1 million? Or, yeah, I mean, at some point, it's just like you just want to do it. But I just ask that you be reasonable to the extent. Anyways, thank you very much.
Thank you. Just in 3 minutes. Anyone else who would like to comment?
Ann Tierce, and I live in above Goss Lake on top of the ridge. I've been listening to the county's comprehensive plan, and they're talking about adding 15,000 more people within the next 10, 20 years. And I'm just wondering if part of your presentation should not include that, that your call numbers are going to go up. And as Jeannie was saying, we are dealing with a hotter, drier climate and summer fires. One of the big concerns I've had and I'm hearing more about is the potential of wildfire on Whidbey. And whether that's this summer or 10 years from now or whatever, it's coming. But I think it is important to point out to people that the population is going to be going up. So, but thank you for a great presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chief, do you want to speak to the comp plan?
To the county's comprehensive plan?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have, I don't have a lot to say about that other than that is a good idea to speak to that. I don't know if you have additional to add.
I remember before I became a fire commissioner, a conversation I had where one of the observations when we were looking at our fire district was that change is the primary constant. And that one of our jobs is to ensure that as we look forward, what are the changes that we're looking at? And so as we've considered how to best serve our community, we're looking at how do we ensure that we reduce response times? Now, we are looking at increased call volume. We're looking at trying to reach those further flung areas, some of those dirt roads that are harder to get down. We want to serve our community. And so that's part of our thinking about the change that's coming. I'm trying to remember, I know I've discussed this with some other folks, the 15,000 increase, I forget if that's just for South Whidbey or it's for the entire county, right? So, and one of the other questions is where will these folks live? Which is a whole nother matter for not this board. But I do think we are trying to look ahead at ensuring that as our community changes and grows, we're able to continue to deliver service. Okay. Is there anybody else who would like to make a public comment at this time? Chief Dilley, is there anybody online? Nope. Okay. Then, based on the comments, I believe we may be ready to take a look at our resolution 2024-07 in regards to the levy lid lift.
This is Commissioner Noble. A couple of thoughts for some of the presentations we had. The concern of the first presenter about wildland fire, whatever the case is, global warming is going to make Western Washington drier, and we need to have the equipment and the personnel to respond to that eventuality. And similarly, the last presenter, Ms. Pierce, saying, oh, how are you going to deal with the county's projection of 10 to 15,000 more people? I'm not sure if that's countywide or South Island.
It's countywide.
Again, okay, countywide. Both of those are realities that, speaking as one commissioner, but I think they're all in the same boat as well as the district, that we have to prepare now for what we think will be the eventuality down the line. And if we're at such time as we have a significant earthquake, which is always possible, we need to have the equipment and the staff be able to respond. And similarly with wildland fires and with the increased population. So I just wanted to put my thoughts on what we heard earlier, because they're spot on. The reality is the change is coming, and we have to be prospective, prepared now for what, for the worst eventuality, so that we never have to meet it. And so that's, that would be my thoughts.
Thank you, Commissioner Noble.
Personally, thank you very much for your support. Tonight's heartening to hear that people appreciate what we're trying to do. We've thought this through pretty carefully. We updated our strategic plan, and then from that we've developed an action plan as to how we plan on doing all the work that we need to do. And from that we developed a capital expenditures plan and an increase in operating expenses. So it was given very careful consideration. There is considerable concern on South Whidbey, I know, for the environmental aspects. As yet, we don't believe that the fire apparatus that's available today with battery propulsion is suitable for what we're doing. We have a lot of problems, not only with power outages, but we have quite extended power outages where we don't have generator backup to power a truck, and the costs of Bellevue buying an electric truck were 2.5 times what a similar diesel powered truck would be. We are looking in the out years at putting solar panels onto the building so that we've got power through extended outages. So we're not going to ignore the environment, but I think the most important thing is to have trucks on the road and people to man them. Our job is to help people when things are not going well.
And to do that as soon as possible. When somebody dials 911, that last digit of 1, they want the aid car or the fire truck there, and not saying, oh, well, we'll get to it by and by. But you, the public, who we all represent from the board and within the district, we have to do everything we can to make sure that we have been prospective in being available and having the first responders on scene as soon as possible. But as Commissioner Tower just said, if a piece of equipment is environmentally good, but it costs 2.5 to 3 times more, we're not serving, if we were to support that in theory and make it practice, we're not doing our fiduciary responsibility to the community. And that is balance what we would love and ideally versus what we can afford. And those are the things that staff and the board wrestle with all the time. And I'm speaking for me, I would prefer we don't have to have an increase in the levy, because it is always some dollars coming out of the bank account, personal bank account. We're not speaking again for one member of the board. We don't take it lightly to ask to increase what the community pays for us, pays to the district, but this is real. And everything that was presented by the chief and the presenters from the public just now absolutely support the need for us to have the financial wherewithal to serve you the way you expect us to do.
Thank you, Commissioner Noble. I will say in my time serving on this board, we have worked hard to ensure that we have a balanced budget. And when we look at the numbers, we are trying to be as judicious as possible with the funds that we do have and just looking at those future needs. And we would like to ensure that we continue to deliver not just a high quality level of service, but potentially to improve that quality. So that's part of the reason that we're asking for this levy lift here, or considering putting it to a vote to ask voters for this in August. And so it is certainly not something we haven't put any thought into. We have spent hours and hours discussing our strategy and our budget, and this is the reality that where we want to update our apparatus, we want to be able to staff our stations so that we can respond rapidly. Chief Nye, did you have a comment you'd like to share? Please.
I'm Terry Nye, I'm Deputy Chief of Operations, and I'm one of the, probably the primary author of the standards cover document the Chief referred to. And some of the things that I learned in that process showed up on in terms of the maps and so on. We talked about improving response times, but there's a couple other ways to look at increasing staffing. One is, as the call volume goes up, one of the things that will happen is that we'll have more multiple calls, or calls overlapping, calls occurring at the same time.
Okay.
And obviously, if you only have enough crew to staff the first call, you're going to be very delayed on the next call if those overlap. So by having additional staffing coming from additional stations, it gives us sort of the width, the bandwidth to deal with multiple calls occurring at the same time. There's also a depth factor in that we had the discussion that was brought up by some of the public about wildland fires and the increased risk there. By having more people on duty, we're better able to deal with a larger incident that requires more than just that first engine. Not all calls can be handled by the first in crew. That's just the majority of them can, but there's always those big ones that require multiple engines, multiple water tenders, and so on. And so again, by having the additional staffing coming from multiple stations, we can bring more forces to deal with the large incidents. And if we start having the impact of climate change, that's more likely that we're going to have those type of incidents that we are going to be all hands on deck. So those are some additional benefits of having that increased staffing that would come from this levy lid lift. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Chief Walsh, is there anything you would like to discuss in regards to the resolution in front of us for the levy lift? Oh, I'm sorry. So, since you're speaking without a mic, the question is in regards to if we do marine response.
We do marine response. We have two marine vessels at this time. We have one staged in Langley at the marina. And then we have a rigid inflatable boat here out of this station that's towed by our rescue unit. And we deploy fairly often, and we will have a couple of successful rescues typically in a year, where we feel like we've, made a pretty good impact with that. Going forward in the future, we're looking to consolidate that program to one boat, potentially because with the nature of this island, it's pretty difficult to get around. And it's a lot easier to go over the tarmac at 50 than drop it in. So thank you.
All right. Is there anything you wanted to go over in regards to the resolution?
Well, specifically, the resolution covers, this is a lot of legalese, obviously, by our written by legal counsel. And the essential intent of this is it would supersede the final year of our existing levy and would levy between 2025 and 2029, would raise the levy rate as discussed to $1.20 per thousand.
And if you would like to share, that isn't the max of what we could ask for.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. So the max is $1.50 per thousand of assessed valuation. So as you recall, but for the benefit of the folks here this evening, the board and myself and some other members of the district as well spent a lot of time in the latter half of 2023 projecting out a 20-year plan and what is this going to cost to run the district and meet our goals over the next 20 years. And this was the rate that made sense. We went into that very open-minded and not knowing. And so this is where we ended up and wanted to do it as economically as we could. So about 30 cents shy of that $1.50 cap. And also puts us again in line with our neighbors are tending to cost about the same per thousand to run the service.
Okay. Commissioner Towers, do you have any discussion for the resolution?
No.
Okay. Commissioner Noble?
No, I'll just say for the audience, there have been many, many meetings, review, speaking as one member of the board, I don't take it lightly to want to move forward that we ask for an increase. But we have clearly shown both of the Chief Walsh's presentation and from everything as one board member, and I think the other members of the board would feel similarly, this is a prudent approach for the situation that we're faced. We're not going to be going out and building some Taj Mahal, as we've been accused by a certain party. We will be extremely, and speaking again for me, I don't take it lightly when we have to make some expenditures. But everything that we do here to date and going forward is how can we best serve the community at the most economical or efficient and economic way to do what you all are expecting of us, which is to be there as soon as possible with the appropriate number of people and equipment when you're in need. And that's where I see myself supporting policy to do that. So I'm absolutely ready to move that we approve the resolution or the proposition establishing a property tax levy of $1.20 per thousand as we've outlined today.
Thank you, Commissioner Noble. Do I have a second?
I would like to second that.
Very good. All those in favor for the South Whidbey Fire MS resolution number 2024-07.
Aye.
Very happily, aye.
The ayes have it. The resolution carries. This means that in August, voters will be asked whether or not they will approve an increase of up to $1.20 per 1,000 of assessed value to help fund our services.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Right.
And thank you to the folks who have shown up today. I really appreciate hearing what you've had to say, and I've taken some notes, and we'll be moving forward in some of the things that were said.
I concur. It is nice to have input from the public, and it's very nice to know that it's largely supportive. So thank you. Next on our agenda, we have announcements. I know we went over some of the upcoming events, so that's great. Chief, do you have any other announcements for us?
Just those announcements that we had. Of course, we have the April 20th awards ceremony. Also, a number of our staff went down to the Seattle Stair Climb, which is a fundraiser for Leukemia Lymphoma Society. So we had a bunch of folks down there, about a dozen, many of which are in here this evening. And then Commissioner Towers, who does this every single year. This year was just super swamped and busy, but came down and bottle changed for us and was the big cheerleader. And so, thanks for everybody that came down, and we had a lot of fun.
How much money did we raise?
Oh gosh, I don't know what our team raised.
10,000. Bravo, everybody! Thank you.
Numbers.
Question to the chief and to those: who was the fastest? By the way, for the audience, this is the big black box that used to be the Columbia Seafirst Tower, and it's like 76 or so stories. And firefighters have the bottle oxygen, and they've got to get from first or second floor up to about the 74th floor. So my question is twofold. Who did the fastest from Swiffy, and Chief, how fast were you?
No.
Okay. We don't need to get into my performance metrics this year. I tried a new training technique, which was to not do anything to prepare at all. I thought maybe I'd be more fresh. It turns out that wasn't the case. So Super Cooper, also known as the Trash Panda, was number one again. He was at 14 minutes, 11 seconds. So, I mean, that's just smoking fast.
Oh, yes.
He's 29th overall, which puts him into the VIP category for next year. So he gets to go to a special seating area. He probably won't. He'll probably hang out with us still, but he could, in theory, go and sit over there with the other champions while the rest of us eat donuts and get prepared. So no, but everybody did really well. We made it to the top. So that was the bottom line. So
great. All right.
Good job.
Announcement. Any others?
That's what I got.
All right. Comments from commissioners? We'll start with Commissioner Noble. Any comments?
Well, since I'm not there, I'll just say I would like to have been there in person, but with COVID flying around and when you get an unplanned fatigue and the sore throat, you say, I'm going to stay home. So I was there in spirit, and I sure appreciate, again, the public who came today. You're representing a lot of people who should have come, but you all did. So if you were there, I'd be taking my Swiffy hat off and saluting you. So thanks again.
Thank you, Commissioner Noble. Commissioner Towers?
Just like to thank the public that are here today for their support. It's very heartening to know that there are people out there that feel that we're going in the right direction. It's always a responsibility and a weight on your shoulders that you're doing the right thing. And it's good to hear that we've got support. So thank you all very much.
We hold these meetings every month, and then we have our special meetings, and typically the turnout is primarily our members of the district. So it is, again, very nice to have some other folks here tonight. So thank you for taking your time out from your busy schedules to join us. And with that, we do not have an executive session, and I believe it is time to conclude this meeting, unless there's anything else that I missed.
I move we adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. The ayes have it. The motion carries. Thank you, everybody, for showing up tonight.
I don't have to go anywhere.